So what I really want to find out is how you integrate PARP inhibitors into the major subsets in people with BRCA germline, just to make it straightforward. I just want to ask you what happened with this lady, though. She's 40 years old, BRCA 1. She starts out with locally advanced triple negative, gets ACT, a lot of residual disease, radiation. 18 months later, Mets. She goes on an investigational taxane, progresses, and then she goes on olaparib. What happened at that point? What was her condition when you started the olaparib, and what happened?
Her condition was not good, and I will tell you that this is before the approval of olaparib, and this was on a trial. And her condition was not good at all. And she had a very rapid response and a very, very deep response that lasted for a long time being over a year. And unfortunately, she developed disease progression and really didn't respond to much of anything. And that didn't surprise me given her history.
I'm guessing she got a platinum along the way.
She got a platinum, but, you know, there's certainly the suggestion that PARP inhibitors are less active in patients who have had a previous platinum, and the converse is probably the case as well. And as you know, all of the randomized trials of PARP inhibitors excluded prior platinum therapy other than treatment given in the adjuvant or neoadjuvant setting sometime in the past.
And, of course, you know, the really weird thing is in an ovary, they took a completely different strategy, give platinum after response using PARP as maintenance, standard of care, three different agents approved in that setting. Do you ever use that strategy, incidentally, platinum followed by PARP maintenance?
I haven't. And the way to address your earlier question, I tend to incorporate PARP inhibitors in patients with mutations early in the course of metastatic disease, the one exception being patients with ER and PR positive disease, where I think there's a reasonable likelihood of getting a response to endocrine therapy. I would use that first before the PARP inhibitor. I have a patient at the moment with a BRCA2 mutation who has ER positive disease, who's on a CDK4/6 inhibitor and letrozole and having a great response. But in my mind, I would give the PARP inhibitor whenever I would otherwise give initial chemotherapy.
Right. So for ER positive, that might be after CDK or maybe even beyond that. What about HER2 positive? It's not approved. Do you ever use it?
I haven't used it. We do know that HER2 positivity is less likely in the setting of BRCA1 and 2 mutations, but does occur occasionally. I think that if a patient had a BRCA1 or 2 mutation and a HER2 positive cancer, I would tend to use it at some point in time, but I wouldn't use it necessarily early on.
What about triple negative? I'm going to say somebody who presents with metastatic triple negative disease.
Well, I think you can justify using it there.
How did this lady do on the olaparib? Any side effects?
She actually had almost no side effects and did great.
No GI problems?
No.
No cytopenias? No anemia?
A little bit of cytopenias. But, I mean, she really did exceptionally well.
How many times have you used a PARP inhibitor in a breast cancer patient?
Oh, because we've had trials for a long time, I'd say probably 15 or 20 times.
I'm guessing most of that's olaparib. And what have you seen in terms of tolerability? Those problems I just mentioned, you hear about from the GYN people. What do you see?
So as single agents, I think they're pretty well tolerated. Some people have some fatigue. Some people have some cytopenias. But in general, well tolerated. Where you get into trouble, particularly with olaparib, is when you start trying to combine it with other agents.
Hmm.